High on a nearby rooftop, a man lowered his long blaster and moved away from the edge in frustration. There had been too many Sekhmen below for him to try a shot. But soon now, very soon. At the stables, Bateman and Sekhmen Harper left the companions and set off to resume a security sweep of the Ville.
Looks like they're expecting trouble. Then again, good Sekhmen are always ready for a shitstorm.
Comes with the job.
Ryan watched the group of armed men stroll away until they were out of sight. Casting a glance at the Ville wall, he saw the guards slowly walking along the top of the rusty trailers, crossbows in their hands. They were smoking and talking to one another, and their faces were turned toward the desolate farmland surrounding the Ville and the endless shifting sands of the New Mex Desert. Somewhere in the distance, thunder rumbled, but there wasn't a cloud in the sky.
Apparently the rank and file are not aware that something is wrong inside the Ville. That would seem to make it a purely executive concern.
That's bad for the Ville, but good for us. You okay, Mildred?
Looking at the ground, Mildred shrugged, unable to express the mixture of emotions that filled her mind. Ryan headed for the stable.
Come on. Mad dog's an Englishman, you know.
Doc shot the man a startled look. Ryan winked.
Heard it from you.
Ah.
Stepping out of the sun, the companion stood for a moment in the cool shadows to breathe in the richly scented air. It was filled with the pungent smells of horses, sweat, soap, leather, and manure. Low dividers of adobe bricks had sectioned the warehouse into individual stalls, and the rear of the stable was stacked high with bales of green hay and a loose mound of dry yellow straw. A crude wall of bright orange highway crash barrels separated the edible hay from the straw, a lot of which was spread across the floor. Sunk into the concrete floor, steel girders supported a corrugated aluminum ceiling high enough to give proper ventilation, and the pre-dark fluorescent light had been replaced with clusters of alcohol lanterns hanging by rusty chains. None of the lanterns was lit. The bright sunshine coming through the front doors were more than enough to illuminate the interior. Surveying the place, Ryan saw only horses in the stalls, and a ratty-looking camel. But no wags of any kind. Strange. A burly man came forward, carrying a dirty wooden pitchfork in his wide hands.
Yeah?
The fellow was in loose pants that seemed to be composed entirely of patches, and a sweat-stained t-shirt that clung to his muscular chest, as if painted onto the skin.
Just who the frag are you?
Then he blinked and gave a smile.
Oh, it's the wrists! Welcome! Been waiting for you. Come on, your animals are over here.
As the beefy stablehand walked away in a rolling gait more appropriate for a sailor, Doc nudged J.B. with an elbow.
We seem to have been expected.
Doesn't take a doomy to figure that. Not much more important than a horse.
The stablehand casually waved the pitchfork.
Here they are. Baron Harmon said only the best, so I took care of myself.
Going to their horses, the companions checked over the animals and were pleased to see that the man appeared to be telling the truth. The horses were in fine shape, watered, fed, and curried clean. Even the saddles had been rubbed down with fresh oil. Ryan didn't know if that was a courtesy for helping the Doomy, or his subtle way of suggesting they might need to leave soon. But either way, the companions were pleased with the attention the horses were receiving.
A Palomino had a stone bruise, but I took care of that.
Hanging his leather jacket on a wooden peg sticking out of the adobe wall, Jack went to his mare and ever so gently got the horse to lift her rear hoof. There was some minor discoloration there, but nothing serious.
How you fix?
The stable hand seemed amused at that, and the teen nodded in understanding.
Gotcha. Trade secret.
Just like J.B. with blasters and his own knowledge of making shine. Some things you talk to folks about, but other stuff you carry to the grave. When most people knew jack shit, even one little bit of smart could keep grub on the table for a lifetime. Christy scratched her own mare behind the ear. The horses preened under the touch.
They're all in excellent shape.
With the saddle and blanket removed, she could now see all of the scars on the hide of the poor animal. This had been a Sekhmen's war horse, the survivor of 100 battles. A veteran who had been ready to be slaughtered for the dinner table before she'd taken ownership. The stable hand waved that away.
Just doing my job.
Well, thank you anyway.
Armand.
The man smiled, leaning on his pitchfork.
Don't bother to tell me your names. I know them already. Hot rain everybody in the Ville did long before you arrived.
Ryan walked over.
About that.
Yeah? If you're gonna ask what else he said about you, save your wind. You ever talk with the Doomin' before?
Some. Aced a few, too.
Well, then you know. They don't talk from the hip. You gotta listen to what they don't say just as much as what they blabber about.
Just like figuring out what's wrong with a horse.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, there was this time when the Baron was little, when he told about his father's death and warmed to the fringe traitor. We had no idea what the hell that meant. A couple hours later, the sec chief rode back alone, saying a mutie got the Baron. Bateman, who was just a corporal then, spots the fringe on the saddlebag of the chief's horse and shoots it with his blaster.
Armand shook his head.
Damn blast near blew down the Ville gates, even though it was 50 yards away. The bag was full of pre-dark explos. Took us a week of hard digging to fill the friggin' hole, I can tell you. Any closer and the wall would have been down for good. Well, the sec men declared Junior the Baron that very night, and the first thing Harmon did was make Bateman the new chief.
Junior?
The stable hand gave a rueful grin.
That's his name, Junior Harmon. Odd name, don't you think?
Absolutely. But then, barons are strange. Doomies even more so.
Fucking aces. About 2 winters ago, the Baron awoke at dawn and ordered everybody onto the roof with any weapons they had. Blasters, crossbows, knives, rocks, bottles, axes, anything. Then he threw open the Ville gates, and we all just waited. Sitting there, freezing out in the cold. Some of us naked as a piglet. Couple hours later, a small army of cold hearts arrived, dragging along a pre-dark cannon they called a howitzer. The Ville wall is strong, nuke, yes, but that mill wep would have punched holes in it like pissing in snow. Well, the cold hearts seemed puzzled finding the gate open, but they strolled inside anyway and started wandering around, getting more and more scared that maybe this was a plagueville with everybody aced. And just as they started to panic, the Baron stands up in plain sight and orders the attack.
Shoo, must have shit pants.
Armand proudly patted the leather sheath on his hip.
Yes, sir! We caught them totally by surprise. Chilled them all down to the last son of a bitch. He saved this, Ville. Sure as Mohawk is a man-trap. The sec men got the howitzer and I got a new knife.
Mohawk? Oh, you mean the Western Mountain Range.
Any trouble since then?
It wasn't gossip they wanted, but some sort of idea what to expect from the Baron. Was he really on their side against this common enemy? Or was he planning to use the companions as bait in a trap to save the Ville and to hell with the Outlanders? This is what the trader used to call chewing a Ville. Just keep smiling and asking for stories, and a smart person could discover all sorts of important things. Appreciative of the willing audience, Armand gave a hard smile. The others in the Ville already knew all of the old stories, but he enjoyed telling them again and again to the wrists and pilgrims who wandered in from the zone.
Trouble? Yeah, sure, some. But we get them more times than they do us, that's for fraggin' sure.
Leaning against an adobe wall, the stable hand pulled out a piece of jerky and tore off a chunk to start chewing. He would have preferred to smoke some Mary Jane in his corncob pipe, but the horses hated smoke more than the colic. Couldn't blame them either, not really. There weren't many worse things than a fire in the stable.
And what did Baron Harmon say about us?
Biting off another chew, Armand shifted uneasily under the man's gaze.
Well, he said to give you anything you want. Stay the fuck out of the way.
Any reason?
All those folks coming after you. Cold hearts with all sorts of pre-dark stuff. Lots of people are gonna die.
Then why let us in?
Even more get aced if we don't.
More? Who among us will get aced?
Dunno that.
Armand tilted his head toward the Ville.
We lost our healer last week.
Ryan touched his scarred face.
Was your healer like me?
The stable hand studied him before replying.
Yeah. Only had the one eye. But no accident like yours. I can see the scar. Jerry was just born that way. Not a mutie, mind you. The other just wasn't there. Only an empty socket.
Black cough. His mother must have had the black cough when she was in term. A lot of women who survived the disease give birth to children with facial deformities.
A cough, eh? Yeah, I think you're right about that. Oh, yeah, one more thing. We're supposed to tell you the stew is fresh at the Broke Neck Tavern.
Is it?
I eat with the sec men. That place is for villagers. I have no idea.
Interesting. And when did the illustrious Baron order you to tell us this?
About a month ago, I guess. Maybe 5 weeks?
Just when the companions arrived at Blaster Base 1 in the southern part of New Mex, Ryan realized. Could be a coincidence, but he didn't think so. Wheels within wheels, as Mildred liked to say. Bateman had guided them here so that Armand could tell them to go to the tavern. Ryan felt a rush of blind rage start to well from within, and he forced the fury under control. Were they being played for Phoebes by the teenage Doomy? Or was this Harmon's way of helping them? Only one way to find out.
Army?
With hands on blasters, the companions turned, just as a young woman walked into the doorway of the stable. Dressed in a tattered white dress, with her blonde hair cascading to trim hips, the busty teen paused in the opening and hesitantly smiled. With the bright sun streaming from behind, the thin fabric of her white dress was rendered translucent, nearly transparent, and it was shockingly obvious that the girl was wearing only skin underneath. Armand hurriedly tucked the piece of jerky away into a pocket and smoothed back his hair.
Hey, Danny! Just let me take care of these people and I'll give you that riding lesson I promised.
A riding lesson? Oh, of course, Army. No problem. I'll wait over here till you're done.
Thanks.
The stable hand made a forced smile, then turned to look at the companions with a pitiful expression.
Now, anything else I can help you folks with?
No, thanks. We'll be going now.
As the companions left the stable, the young woman rushed in, and Armand closed the plywood doors.
Ooh, lucky Armand.
Jack cast a glance back at the warehouse. It had been a long time since the young man had knocked boots, and that view of the teenage girl standing in the bright stable doorway had been mighty close to heaven, in his opinion.
Not my type. Too young, too blonde, and I'll bet she doesn't know anything about cutting up the innards of people and sewing them back together.
Frowning slightly at that comment, Mildred glanced at the short man, then walked over to bump him with a hip. J.B. smiled in reply, and the two of them walked side by side, sharing a private moment on the hot and dusty street. When you were with the right person, some things didn't need to be said out loud.
What now, lover?
It's time we did a wreck on that tavern, and get some bastard chow, too.
Ah, sound good to me.
Jack slipped off his camo jacket to tie the arms around his waist. The day was brutally hot, and the jacket weighed a lot with all of the knives hidden up the sleeves and the bits of razor and glass sewn into it.
And afterward?
Then we go see the Baron. The Doomy knows a lot more than he's telling, and I'm starting to feel like a pawn in that game Doc once tried to teach me.
Ah, chess. I concur, my dear Ryan. The Baron may even know who is behind all of the mysterious events that brought us here.
Could be anybody.
100 names went through his mind, like wind-blown leaves in autumn.
Gaia knows we've made enough enemies.
For every Baron they took out, there always seemed to be some distant kin out for revenge. It didn't matter that the folks they aced were mad dog evil, druggy cowards, or completely insane. The world was ruled by the crazy, and there wasn't much a person could do about the matter, but fight to stay alive.